Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
We all have a different kind of idea about what patience is, don't we? For some of you, whenever you think of patience, you're thinking of, man, just sticking it out. For others of you, when you're thinking of patience, it's just keeping your mouth shut.
That was Pastor F.G. Holmsher, an associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our special guest speaker on Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor F.G. Holmsher shares the 10th of our 12 marks of a difference maker, found in the book of James, as he helps us to realize the importance of being patient with people. Today's message is called Five Reasons to Pray for Patience.
You know, there's some things that if you walk along in your Christian life long enough, you just know not to do. There's a couple things that you know not to do in your Christian life. One of them is to never tell God what? No or never, right? You just don't do that. You don't tell God no, or you don't tell him never, because where you draw the line, that becomes the line of demarcation, does it not? And so those of us who have been over that line back and forth a number of times, we've learned, I'm just not going to draw that line anymore. Has that ever happened to you? You told God, never. You know, I love you, God, but not there. Not them. Yeah, it happened in our family. And I love it. Because my wife, when she was going to school, she went to a very prestigious university in the States. She not only went to school there, but she was born there. She was raised there. It courses through her blood. There came a rift between my school and her school. I didn't have anything to do with it. I promise. I had nothing to do with it. She resolved inside of herself, I will never marry a boy from that school. I don't know what day that was, but I rejoice over that day. Because that gave me the opportunity to slip in. Because now God had to do it, didn't he? He had to say, okay, Melody, no. You don't work like that with me. Let me give you this guy. And I am ever thankful that she told the Lord, never. So that's one thing you don't do, but it worked out best for me. Okay, so. There's another thing you don't do, and maybe some of you are thinking about it right now. Maybe it's in your mind. You don't pray for patience. No. You see, it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds good. I'm going to pray for patience because I need patience. I'm an impatient person. I need to be patient with people. And so you pray for patience, and what does the Lord give you? Many, 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 too many opportunities to work on your patience. So those of you who have walked down this road a little ways before, and you've prayed for patience and felt the wind of opportunities, you just know, okay, I'm not going to go there anymore. I am here to be the bearer of what seems like bad news, but will, in the end, I believe, work out to the best for you. I'm here to tell you that the next mark of a difference maker on our list is patience with people. You see, we've made it through James chapter 4, 13 through 17. We turn the page to James chapter 5, and the coach on the sideline is yelling out to us. You know how a coach gets? It's in the middle of the game. It's a tense moment. He doesn't have time to pull you back aside and draw out for you again all the X's and O's of the play. He doesn't have time to zone in on your specific position and teach you again the things that he's already taught you. The only thing he can do is remind you, and he screams it from the sideline, reminding you, this is what you do. Do it now. Remember Pastor's metaphor? James is the coach on the sideline. He's not the teacher. He's not the teacher in the classroom. He's the coach on the sideline, reminding you of what you should know or already do know, and it's a tense moment, and we tend to just do things like we've always done them when we're in a tense situation, and James is saying, no, remember. And his encouragement to us in James chapter 5 is to be patient with people. So I'm here to give you five reasons that you should pray for patience. Now, I know you're thinking, I don't know if you're going to be able to sway me on this one, because I don't know that I'm ready for what's around that corner when I do pray for patience. But I will remind you that this is God's will for your life. And so let's look at the scriptural reasons in James chapter 5 that we should seek patience with others. I'm going to begin reading in James chapter 5 and verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 11, And we'll probably spend most of our time on verses 7 through 11, but let's just get the context here. James 5, verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of your laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in the pleasure on earth and are wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Stablish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. James starts out with a scalding reprimand of the rich. Now we know that it's not wrong to have this world's riches. What is wrong is using the world's riches for things that are against God. And he says the rich have these tendencies, and these tendencies are money has a way of kind of sticking to you and getting inside your heart and your soul, and the more you get, the more you want. And then you begin to break God's laws, and you begin to break relationships based upon this money. And he says that's wrong. And in verse 7, he kind of changes. It's almost as if he's been addressing this group. He says, you rich people, you're doing wrong, and you're treating others wrongly. And then it's almost like he turns his head and he says, be patient therefore, brother. So what is he saying? He's saying to those who are not the rich, he's saying to those who are not these people who are using others for the sake of personal gain. He's talking to the people who are being used. He says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And then he says, he uses this illustration, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. So when he changes the focus from the rich now to the brethren who have been used, what is he saying about patience? Because we all have a different kind of idea about what patience is, don't we? For some of you, whenever you think of patience, you're thinking of, man, just sticking it out. For others of you, when you're thinking of patience, it's just keeping your mouth shut. Because that's the most patient thing I can do, is keep my mouth shut. And for others of you, you're like, no, patience is just, you know, working with them and always having their best in mind. And so what is patience? Well, I would remind you that we've already kind of gone over this a little bit in James chapter 1. I feel like a broken record, but it's God's word, it's not me. And he does talk about patience in James chapter 1. And the word there is hupomeno, it's to stay under. It's to stay under the trial. It's staying power. But that's not the word here. It's a different word for patience. And this patience comes from two words. The words are long is makros, and thumos means temper. So it's long temper. Or if you think about a bomb, it's having a long fuse. In other words, you don't get to explosion phase very quickly. In fact, it's so long that it'll never get there. Oh, I don't know what it's like to have that long of a fuse. It's long suffering. We're going to see later on in the passage that James takes it and kind of sticks it right in your heart whenever he tells us the thing we should not be doing. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But really, we can define patience this way. It's to endure the offenses and injuries of others with a mild spirit. To endure the offenses and injuries of others with a mild spirit. So, why should we seek and why should we apply and why should we look to have patience with people? James said the first reason is because the stakes are so high. The stakes are so high. You see the illustration there he uses? He jumps right into the illustration of the husbandman or the farmer. And he says the farmer plants the seed, and because of the preciousness of the fruit, he's long-suffering. Not only is it just a waiting, not only is it just a hoping, it's a sticking through the troubles because of the preciousness of the fruit on the other end. The farmer believes in the harvest, and the farmer believes that what he gains at the other end of all of this stuff in between, the weeds and the weather, the animals that come in and mess up the crop, the bugs that come and eat the crop, all of the stuff that he has to deal with to get to the end, he sees it as worth it because of the preciousness of the crop. And he believes that the harvest will come. And so he's patient. You see, for him, the harvest is absolutely necessary. It's what he lives on. You see, for him, if he misses the harvest, he's missed everything. The whole of his last year will have been for naught. If there's not the harvest, and if he does not get to the harvest. So he patiently endures whatever nature brings to him, and whatever the trial that comes, he patiently endures it because he knows the harvest is coming and it's worth it. I see the picture. What is it that we're after? What is it that we are waiting to see? What is it that we should be spending our lives on? What is it that we're planting and longing and hoping to see the fruit of at another time? You see, Paul talked about this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul saw himself as a person who had a calling, and this calling and this purpose of life is overarching to him. In fact, in other passages, he says, I've left everything behind. Nothing in this earth is worth anything. In fact, he went on to say, it's trash, and it's worse than trash, and you know what I mean. He calls the things of this world and any accolade you might get from anybody else, he calls the things that you can attain on this side as nothing, worse than nothing, if he can gain this. And what is it? Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know about for you, brothers and sisters, but it's that moment. It's that moment when I stand before my Savior. I long and I press and I pray and I hope and I make decisions so that one day I might hear, you know the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And it's you say, well, that sounds kind of selfish. You want somebody to think you're a good guy. No, it's more than that. It's not just to hear well done for me. Because if I hear well done, what does that mean for him, my Savior, my God, my Creator? What does it mean? It means he is well pleased. What is our created purpose? It's to bring him pleasure. And if we get to the end of our life and we hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, then we will have brought him pleasure and we will have fulfilled our created purpose. You see, the stakes are so high, it resonates, it goes all the way down. Our patience with people affects our eternal created purpose.
That was Pastor F.G. Holmsher, the assistant pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker today for Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.